And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, making it cool to be a conservative. Got a bunch of text messages already. 833-687-4448. That's the text line or the call line. Text or call it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Give me your input. Eagles. So, yeah. I mean, I was just telling Big Reg, I mean, what if we had wound up with the turkey? I mean, how would that have gone over? Would all these things have changed? Would you shoot two under par in the golf course and say, man, I shot a turkey? I doubt it, if that would sound quite the same. You got, the Philadelphia Turkeys going for the Super Bowl? Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And then, of course, my favorite would be, you know, the mighty vaunted 101st Airborne Division, the Screaming Turkeys. No, I'm saying no. Tracy from Athens says, I think we have enough turkeys in D.C. Nice. Well, it's funny you say that because the lovely Charlene just texted in. She says the Biden administration needs to adopt the turkey as their symbol. Yes. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama says, can we eat them now? No. No, you cannot. No. It's still against the law. Don't do it. I don't think they taste like turkey or like chicken. David from Athens says, Phil, to think when you mention Alabama, I, rather than think of all the American bald eagle, they tend to think of some elephant on a football field. War eagle, David in Athens. Yes, that's exactly right. You know, what do? We can't change some people. Jeff from Indiana says, I almost hit a bald eagle a few weeks ago in Indiana that was next to the road eating off a deer. Wow. Just sitting there? And he says, there's a turkey in the White House right now. JT Lacey Springs says 30 eagles in one place. Amazing. If Franklin had supposedly gotten his choice for a national bird, what would the Thanksgiving bird be? Mom got a great stuffed eagle on the table for dinner. Dad gets to carve it up. Dad, could you please carve the eagle? No, that's just awful. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. And by the way, did you see the Auburn mess up? Yes, I'm very aware. I just want to say my March Madness bracket's all of a sudden looking really good, and the main reason is because the exact same teams that failed me in last year's Right Side Radio contest have come through for me this year. Also, in some of my women's basketball brackets, I managed to get 31 out of 32 picked in the first round. You are the man, John from Huntsville. And then he says, by the way, why is three strikes in bowling called a turkey and not an eagle? I don't know. I'd forgotten about that. He bowled a turkey. Three strikes. I have no idea. If somebody knows the answer to that question, please let me know why they call it a turkey. Because it seems like turkey is like a little bit of an insult. Oh, you turkey. You know, oh, you jive turkey. I just went back to the 70s with that one. Jive turkey. Am I sounding old right now or what?
No, I agree. I think turkey sounds hilarious.
Turkey does not fit. Like if you're trying to be esteemed or courageous or brave, you don't go, I'm feeling a little like a turkey today.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. All right. Hey, listen, I got to switch gears here. We got some breaking news. For real. I'm through talking about turkeys and eagles for the moment. Breaking news. If you did not already see it, it's big doings, y'all. And I don't mean like a little bit. Like it's big doings. Democrats are flipping out right now because Trump, today was the deadline, right? Letitia James was already measuring for the drape. She's going to move her office to Trump Tower. It's going to be awesome. She was going to seize all his assets. AOC, by the way, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that harbinger of knowledge, that bastion of deep thought, she recently said that there was great risk in not seizing his assets. Great risk for what? By the way, he's the most famous person in the world. Do you think he's a flight risk? Where did Trump go? We don't know. We think he's hiding out in Canada. No, I'm pretty sure they'd see him. Anyway, the bottom line is he was supposed to post bond today for $464 million, I believe it was, $454 million bond. And the appeals court in New York cut that in half. More than half. He now has to come up with $175 million. Now, Big Rick and I believe that we would be glad to run Right Side Radio on merely half of what he's having to post for bond. We could do it. We could make it work. We'd stretch it. It'd be a little hard, but we could do it. But Trump did say, in classic Trump fashion, I mean like a mic drop moment, he announced that he was satisfied and would appeal. He would not appeal. He would abide by the appellate court's ruling and post $175 million bond in the next 10 days. And then some intrepid reporter hollered out, "Mr. President, what will you use to post for collateral?" And he turned around and goes, "Cash. $175 million. He's going to stroke a check for $175 million. That's unbelievable. But yeah, but this has also got, Letitia James is beside herself. Oh, she was so excited. It was so big. She ran on this, y'all. "I'm going to get Trump. It's going to be great." Got a judgment from a liberal judge that goes way beyond the pale. I am hopeful for the appeal. I mean, this is really messed up. They're doing everything they can to bankrupt him and to, to basically crush his soul, to end it. They would love nothing more than to see Trump in jail and bankrupt. It would make they would be gleeful, giddy, like cackling.
Do you think it's going to work?
At this point, no, I don't.
Okay.
I'm still concerned about a few things. Now, one thing that did happen today that was not in his favor was there's the what they consider to be, what experts consider to be the weakest case against him is they refer to it as the hush money case. The liberal district attorney for the city of New York, Alvin Bragg, brought that case. And it basically is claiming that Trump committed some type of electioneering fraud by paying off Stormy Daniels, a former porn star, paying her off to be quiet during his last election. So here's the thing. Apparently she didn't stay quiet because everybody in the world got to hear her talk about it. But now there's a trial on that one. So you got a state prosecutor filing a federal claim on a novel theory of law. The judge says it will go to trial next month, regardless. So we'll see how that goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, Alabama. Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right. By the way, I got a couple more texts real quick. I'll do those. Steve Crispin, he texted in and said he thinks that on that $175 million bond, he thinks that Trump ought to turn it in pennies and make the AG count it before he leaves. I'm pretty sure that might draw the ire of the court, just saying. But by the way, $175 million in pennies, how many would that be? That would be a lot. But I don't know that we have that many pennies in circulation. How would they gather them up? Stephen from Madison says, I'll raise you up on turkey's wings. Oh, I see what we're doing here. Now all the best songs that I'll raise you up on eagle's wings became I'll raise you up on turkey's wings. Awesome. Lynn from Knoxville says, the sound you hear eagles make in commercials is actually a hawk. Come on. No, don't say that. Although I hear hawks in my backyard all the time. Every once in a while, I'll be sitting out there having a cup of coffee in the morning. A squirrel runs across the yard, and I'll go, "Not a good idea, buddy. Just you're just like tempting. You're an hors d'oeuvre." Crystal, cousin Crystal from Moulton says, "Trump Towers is shining brightly in New York City today." Indeed. John from Harvest says, "Does Trump get his bail money back after the trial?" Yes. So this is not bail money, by the way. This is called posting a bond. When you have a judgment against you and you're going to appeal it. Every state in the union has a requirement that bond be posted. Bond is basically like an insurance policy. If number one, it keeps people from filing frivolous appeals because they have to post the bond. And number two, it protects, the judgment holder in case you default. The bond is now in place. The bond is usually secured by collateral unless you have cash in the amount necessary. So in this case, he's got $365 million judgment against him now. They raised the amount with all the court fees and everything else to $454 million. Today, he had to post $175 million to preserve his right to appeal. If he did not post that, he probably wouldn't get his appeal through. It's amazing. They're doing everything they can just to screw with him. And then Lee from Huntsville says, I hear the scream of a bald eagle occasionally gives me chills. I live close to the river. Indeed. All right, let me jump in. You know the deal, y'all. Every once in a while, when I am getting the show ready in the morning, I start realizing how much stuff is happening that matters in our state, or our state's making national news, or our state officials are doing something good, bad, or indifferent. And I feel like I've got to say something about it. And that means I gotta pull it all together. I got to find the stuff in our backyard, the things we care about right here at home, and we cook up a batch of what we like to call home fries. Oh, yeah. Just sizzling them up. So we made national news in a good way this time. Made national news this past weekend, actually today. Story came out on 1819 News. National school choice advocate Corey DeAngelis, who's been on this show probably three or four times, along with other members of his organization. But Corey DeAngelis, who is, in my opinion, one of the true heroes of the school choice movement, he was out there praising Alabama's new law. So as a reminder, Alabama passed what we call the Choose Act. And the Choose Act goes into effect in the coming year. There will be initially a phase-in for the first couple of years, allowing lower-income folks to take advantage of it first, after which it expands to pretty much everybody. But Corey DeAngelis did a podcast with 1819 News recently. He praised the state legislature for its efforts. He pointed to school choice programs in Florida and Arizona as examples of how they can benefit the families. But then he went into something that I've said on this show multiple times. And I was so glad to hear him say it. He dealt with the issues that people claim that this school choice movement that we're in will somehow destroy public education. No, it won't. No, it won't at all. No, it won't. It's the free market, y'all. And he says that very thing. He says there's at least 11 studies that look at the competitive effects, the competition. The free market is competition, by the way. You build the better mousetrap, people will beat a path to your door. And if your competition builds a better mousetrap, guess what? You got to either up your game or fade away. That's what happens here. We believe the free market, those who are for school choice believe also the free market will sustain public schools. It'll cause them to do more with what they've got. Says there's 11 studies that look at the competitive effects of school choice on public schools. And how the opponents always say it's going to decimate public schools, but it says the public school funding, though, where they've had it in Florida now for years, the public school funding has gone up year after year in Florida. And in competitive effect studies, 10 out of the 11 found positive effects of school choice on the outcomes in public schools because they upped their game in response to competition. So school choice has been a rising tide that lifts all boats. Anyway, I just enjoyed the fact that Alabama made national headlines in a great way as being a leader in something. And I look forward to seeing the implementation of the school choice bill. And I'll be honest with you, I look forward more than anything to seeing our education numbers change. All right, here's a story for you. I pulled this one off of Yellowhammer. So yellowhammernews.com's got a piece that I did not see coming. If you're not familiar, there are some what I would call power brokers in the state. Associations and entities that, you know, seem to have the most influence, some good, some not so good, some decent. We had Clay Schofield in recently, who was a state senator previously, who's now with the Business Council of Alabama, the BCA. Of course, you always hear about the teachers union, the AEA. There's Alabama Power that has a lot of, you know, clout, so to speak, in the state. And then there's Blue Cross Blue Shield and Alpha. Blue Cross Blue Shield, people don't realize that, believe it or not, despite their virtual monopoly in the state, Blue Cross Blue Shield is allegedly a nonprofit organization. Go figure. They are the most powerful. In fact, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alabama is one of the most powerful branches of Blue Cross in the nation because state law gives them so much clout. Well, one of the others is Alpha. The Alabama Farmers Federation. And Alpha recently announced that it would like to begin pursuing providing health care of its own for its members. If you've ever been involved with Alpha before, you know that technically you're a member. So when you pay your premiums for your insurance, like my home insurance, you're also paying for your membership in Alpha. So Alpha's got a bill out there being carried by State Senator Arthur Orr, Senate Bill 232, that would allow them to provide insurance for all of their members. Well, they're not small, y'all. They are not small at all. And if they do this, you could very well see a huge tranche of Blue Cross users go, well, we'll just go with Alpha. And Blue Cross Blue Shield's already screaming. I knew as soon as I saw the headline, my first thought was Blue Cross. Whoo! Well, yeah. Ted Hosp, I know Ted Hosp. He's a decent fella. Ted Hosp, he's the vice president for Blue Cross. He says that this is an unregulated insurance product. No other company should be allowed to sell it. Okay. And then Dane Howard, who's the deputy director of the Alabama Hospital Association, she's concerned about an unregulated portion of a health benefit plan not being considered as insurance. What they're really concerned about is having to share. That's what they're concerned about. They do not want to see a viable competitor. I mean, we still got TRICARE for military members here in the state. We've still got United Healthcare, which is fairly large. But Blue Cross, last I checked, was something like 70% of all medical insurance in the state that is not government-sponsored comes through Blue Cross. And they do not want to share that ground. I just find this, I predict the bill will not pass. I just do. I predict the bill will not pass this year. It might take 2 or 3 years. Senator Orr is one of the few people who I think that can get this bill moving. He is. His position of leadership and longevity in the Senate, the fact that he's a budget chairman. But I still think it's not going to pass. It's also late in the session. So I have to look at it and go, a little late to be bringing that up, but they're going to try. We'll see what happens. All right. How about this one? Yeah, I tweeted about this weekend. By the way, could they have gotten a manlier name? The fact that I tweeted, this sounds a little, I don't know, like my testosterone is low.
You X'd it.
I X'd it. That's it. Oh, I X'd it. So I X'd out this weekend this dude.
That does not sound right.
I slashed it. Anyway, 1819's got a story. Remember the Prattville Library? Yeah. Lost his job. The library board or the library director, bless his heart, he wants his job back. So I tweeted that this weekend and I said, let me get this straight. Violated executive session by recording his bosses. Violated attorney-client privilege by taking emails with the general counsel and giving them away to others. Tried to paint his employer in a bad light. Wants his job back. He was an at-will employee who was terminated for cause. And now he wants his job back. No kidding. He's got an attorney. He hired a law firm here in the state. The name will come back to me in a minute. I saw their name, and they're very well known. Is it Huey Fernabuke? It might have been. But anyway, he said earlier this month, the Otago Prattville Library Board voted to terminate the library director, Andrew Foster, for revealing confidential information in violation of the law. Listen, this one's been all over my social media this weekend. I tweeted that thing out. I got all kinds of trolls. I even got the reporter, a guy named Jacob Holmes from the Alabama Political Reporter, the most liberal website in the state, taking me to count. Phil, that's not how attorney-client privilege works. My response was, well, I've been practicing law for 20 years and I beg to differ. Then he comes back and says, you know, something about, you know, for cause or whatever else. And I'm like, but the bottom line is this. Dude was a bad hire. Good riddance. Why would you take him back? He's not earned the right. He hadn't earned the right to come in and check out a book, much less be the director. After he was terminated, by the way, employees were incensed. They went out and locked the doors, so the board chairman had to go down there and fire them all. And I'm told that most of the quote-unquote indignant employees quickly recouped when they realized, oh, we're on the losing side of this argument, and they all decided to go back inside, and they unlocked the doors, and they got their jobs back. But yeah, attorney, by the way, their attorney is somebody I know too, Laura Clark. She's super sharp. And the fact that they think it's okay. The press thinks it's okay. Listen, they're doing the whole thing about he was just doing his job. It was the Open Meetings Act. No, the Open Meetings Act allows you to have executive session in which you come out from the executive session and have public comment with a vote. But the executive session is considered to be privileged or quiet. And you don't go in there and hit record on your phone and then give a reporter what was said in executive session and just expect that to be okay. So if somebody decides they want to record their boss so they can show the world they think their boss is wrong, and then they want to do the things their boss said don't do, I'm going to suggest to you, you fire them sooner than later. Like, don't hesitate. Do not pass go. Do not collect on their next paycheck of $200. Just be done. And now he wants his job back. It's ludicrous. It's silly, actually. It's actually kind of pitiful, too. I'm guessing that's the only thing in the world he can do. I dreamed of being the Prattville Library Director. Okay. Time to raise the bar a little bit, fella. Get out there and find a world to work in. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and I'll do a little more. What's going on with gambling? What's going on with gambling? Is it going to pass? Are they going to take it up? Is it stuck in the basket? What does that mean? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. So we got some stuff happening. So we're cooking up right now, right here, right this very second. We are cooking up a batch of what I like to call some home fries. Oh yeah, smell them. Cooking in the pan. But we are cooking up a batch of what I like to call home fries because it's about home news. It's about things happening around here. And if you've been tracking at all what's been happening in Montgomery, we've talked about it on the show multiple times. You know, there's a bill that's been, you know, rushed through the House, has now barely made it through the Senate, that was designed to expand casino gaming in the state of Alabama. Leadership and apparently the House and Senate wants it. They do. I mean, there's every reason to believe that there would be just a complete monopoly given to the bad actors who've been breaking our laws for years. It would be expansion of casino gaming. It would be what we call a compact with the Poarch Creek Indians, which already have some level of casino operation on their tribal lands. And then it would also add sports betting, and then it would also add a lottery. I mean, it was like, okay, is there any other game of chance? I don't know. Bunko. Can we add Bunko to it? I don't know. How do we do this? Can we just the bottom line is this. The only thing missing was raffles. It was going to be everything, and it was the most awful bill. Listen, for those of you out there going, I just want a lottery, Phil. I'm tired of seeing my tax dollars go to Georgia. Okay, stop. Just go buy yourself a Georgia lottery ticket. You'll be fine. But that being said, if you really want to see a lottery in the state of Alabama, if that's your ultimate end goal, first of all, ask yourself, are you willing to budget your state's state's budgeting on a game of chance? And secondly, have we been somehow another, I don't know, remiss in not having one? Is Alabama just, have we got problems because we don't have one? Is there something about our lives in Alabama that would have been so much better all this time if we just had one? Our budgets are already in surplus. All these things are in place. And then on top of that, you have to look at it and go, if you just want a lottery, then why do you have to keep packing the bill full of stuff that people are not clamoring for? Allegedly, people are wanting a lottery, generally speaking. And yet the bill's got casino gaming, expansion of other opportunities, the legalization of things that have been illegal for years, the amnesty given to the bad actors who've been breaking our laws for years. I mean, literally, there are people who've gone to jail over this very issue that would suddenly be given a pass. All those things you broke the law on a while ago, yeah, no worries, dude. You're good. Go ye therefore. Well, the bill right now, according to the Alabama Reflector, Story out over the weekend. Alabama gambling bill stalled after Senate changes. I hope so. I hope it has. A senator who carried a gambling package in the chamber said Thursday the legislation is running into trouble. Senator Greg Allbritton, Republican from Atmore, a longtime proponent of legalized gambling, told reporters Thursday the gambling legislation remains in the House basket. Okay, what that means is this. When one chamber finishes up a bill, it is then transmitted to the, in other words, it's couriered downstairs or upstairs, whatever the case may be. So in our current state house, and they're building a new one, but in our current state house, the fifth floor is where the House resides, and the seventh floor, the upper chamber, is where the Senate resides. And the Senate, let's say the Senate passes a bill, they transmit it to the House, and it has to be done within a certain amount of time. There are procedures, there are signatures required. You know, the laws of the state, while they may seem flim-flam at time, they are covered up pretty well with procedure. Well, this one is now still sitting stuck in the basket downstairs, which is the receiving area, which means House leadership is a little miffed. We'll talk about it with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.